Well, I think one thing we're going to do right out of the gate is define what pro-life is.
Scott Klusendorf talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That term is now being confused. It's being put up for grabs, and we're going to make clear what the pro-life syllogism is, how we can make that case for life with people who don't accept biblical authority, who maybe don't even know what it is we stand for, and are subject to being confused. So there's a crying need to clarify what pro-life means, what our actual arguments are, and then we'll look at five bad ways people argue against the pro-life case in the public square so that we can be prepared to give good, solid, Christ-honoring answers.
You can meet and hear Scott Klusendorf making the case for life at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Learn more about conference speakers and topics and register at issuesetc.org.
Conservatism is not primarily about creating the shortest possible list of rules for how our society is governed, but is about preserving the permanent things, the things that should be conserved.
When you look at the cause of pro-life, it's organically related to what we say about who Christ is and why he came.
So you cannot in any way make some coherence out of Jesus and Muhammad. The distance between the two is the distance of infinity.
Homeschooling moms with piano beginners practicing in the house love Issues Etc.
There's no doubt that there is a connection. It is a terrible connection, one that many are unaware of, and when they learn about it, they find it difficult to believe, but there's no doubt about it at all that there is a connection between the attempt to legalize and then finally to make, well, just an ordinary everyday occurrence, abortion here in America, and racism in America. Now, its roots go farther back than an organization like Planned Parenthood. It goes to the Planned Parenthood's founder as well. There were racist intentions in legalizing abortion. There were racist intentions in founding Planned Parenthood. There's no two ways about it. Now, that is often unexplored and often unrealized. So, when you get an organization like, say, Starbucks that has recently been accused of institutionalized, what did they call it? Not unintentional, but unconscious bias, which is another word for racism. And they're doing their best over the course of, well, yesterday and the days that are following to correct that image, a big PR campaign that is, well, it's a PR campaign that is masquerading as sensitivity training, trying to revamp its image when it comes to racism. When you have that going on, you have to ask the question, if Planned Parenthood and Starbucks still have the connection that they do, which is one of dollars and cents, then maybe if Starbucks really wants to overcome the racism that is institutionalized in its organization, in terms of where its money goes to, it will cut off funding, its funding, even although it's private, for Planned Parenthood. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Wednesday afternoon, May the 30th. We're going to be talking about Starbucks Racial Bias and Education Day and Planned Parenthood funding. Dr. Alveda King, niece of Martin Luther King Jr., will be our guest. We're going to spend some time with her. And then we're going to turn to the subject of fatherhood with Pastor Jeff Hemmer. He's author of the book Man Up, The Quest for Masculinity, and a recent column for the Lutheran Witness titled The Toxic and the True. We hear a lot about toxic masculinity. He says it goes farther back than just last year or the Me Too movement. It goes all the way back to the fall where masculinity has been distorted by our sin. We'll be talking with Pastor Jeff Hemmer a little bit later here on this Wednesday afternoon. Now, you can feel free to join us with questions or comments. Our call-in number on this Wednesday, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about Starbucks Racial Bias Education Day and Planned Parenthood funding, Dr. Alveda King, niece of Martin Luther King Jr., Director of Civil Rights for the Unborn at Priests for Life, and author of a recent column for the Washington Examiner titled, If Starbucks Wants to End Racism, It'll Stop Funding Planned Parenthood. Dr. King, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you so much for this opportunity and to say hello to everyone. I'm very grateful.
Well, let's cut straight to the chase. Tell us about the racist roots of Planned Parenthood.
Okay, so I'll connect it to what's happening with Starbucks right now because I did want to explain. Starbucks has a matching program where if the employees make a donation, Starbucks will make a matching donation to their favorite charity. Well, it seems as though quite a few employees support Planned Parenthood. Now, Planned Parenthood is America's largest abortion provider, largely responsible for over 60 million legal abortions since the legalization of abortion in 1973, Roe versus Wade. And I've got a new movie. I'm executive producer getting some of these facts out. Please support us. Planned Parenthood, by just nature of the fact, saying that they want to help the communities, especially the black community, even though their founder, Margaret Sanger, said, and I'm paraphrasing them just a little bit, you can look it up, colored people are like weeds that need to be exterminated. We don't want the word to get out, so let's cultivate some of their leaders. They tried to give my uncle Martin Luther King Jr. Award in 1966. He didn't take it. His wife went, and his secretary wrote the thank you letter, and some ladies wrote the speech that the wife read. You know, the wife was kind of like me. Uncle Retta, I used to be pro-choice until the lights came on. And so early on, Uncle Retta was as well. So here we are with Planned Parenthood going around to trying to say they're good and want to help everybody, knowing that they're largely responsible for abortion here. And give me one more second, because I think this is important. I was reading a magazine on the news on the airport, on the airplane, and Sandra Bullock was talking about a procedure she had had, not Botox, but from the little, well, you know, when a baby boy is circumcised, whether he's aborted or born alive as a little baby, they take that skin and they make it into a serum and inject it into people's faces to plump up their skin. And Sandra Bullock, the actress, was bragging about it. And it ended up in the magazine. And I said, you know, we know they're buying baby body parts to do all this kind of stuff. So that is what Planned Parenthood does. I don't know if I'm giving you too much information. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay. So Planned Parenthood, the abortion of babies to do genocide and eugenics, to minimize the minority populations, to harvest baby body parts and all that kind of thing. So I would even say to workers at these various companies, when you're donating to an organization, please do your research and homework, because what sounds like something good may have something else hidden deep beneath it that you really don't need to support.
So let's talk about the effort of Starbucks to both revamp its public image, but also deal with the perhaps the genuine racism that may exist. There was an incident, I'd like your thoughts on it, where two men were at a Starbucks and they were arrested on the premises. What was that story all about?
Well, actually, two men were in Starbucks waiting to meet with someone. They had not yet ordered coffee, and it turns out they said they were waiting for the other person to arrive, and they're going to have coffee and sit and talk. They asked to go to the restroom while they were waiting for the other person or persons to come. And so they told them they couldn't use it. And so I guess they says, what do you mean? And the discussion accelerated and the police were called. And there was a rough and tumble kind of a situation. So it turns out that really was racist because they don't run that particular one, and especially was not running everybody out. And so people thought it was because of the color of their skin. There was a similar incident. A lady was in a park and an African-American couple was barbecuing. And so the lady called the police and said they're doing charcoal barbecuing in the park and they're not supposed to. Now, other people were barbecuing and she didn't call on them. So I just say that people are being judged by their skin color rather than their character. And my uncle, Martin Luther King Jr., said we should be judged by the content of our character, not the color of our skins. And he was waiting for the day that would happen for his own children. So, but that doesn't mean we're supposed to be colorblind. Because if we say we're colorblind, we can't see color. We also can't see the injustice that's being done to people because of skin color. So we have to turn the lights on. And I did, I think I said that Starbucks kind of needs to wake up and smell their own coffee. That might have been a wordplay, but I'm not trying to make it funny, because this is all very serious.
So talk about the proportion of babies that are aborted in the United States every year that are African American, and the fact that I think it's no coincidence Planned Parenthood has the vast majority of its abortion mills located in lower income neighborhoods.
Well, our numbers, as far as percentage of African Americans in America, has gets no higher than 13% in the last few decades, and if somebody said it was hovering around 11 rather than that 13% right now. However, Planned Parenthood's goal, through Margaret Sanger, they put many of the abortion mills are in what they call high need communities, but that turns out to be African American and then Latinos and then college campuses. And so we know that abortion is recommended as a catch-all, cure-all, abort your baby so you can finish college or so you can get a job or get your emotional life straightened out first. It's a blob of tissue, it won't hurt. And so now they're not able to say that as much because of the ultrasound wave, and there have been so many generous people that are donating ultrasound technology, and medical doctors and nurses and practitioners are volunteering their time to help at the maternity or the pregnancy care centers. So Planned Parenthood's agenda has been to minimize the African-American community. Now, with the Caucasian community, they want to harvest the eggs of the Caucasian college girls and that kind of thing. And as I've told you, selling the baby body parts are for things like Sandra Bullock is talking about, to get these injections in the face or sell the organs and all that kind of thing. Now, Planned Parenthood is involved in all of that. I'm not hating on Planned Parenthood. I used to be pro-choice. I've had two abortions. People know about that. You can see that at civilrightsfortheunborn.com, my own testimony. I work for Peaceful Life, and that's my page. So you can see those kinds of things as well. So I'm not hypocritical. I'm not judging anybody. I've experienced the pain and trauma and hurt of abortion personally, and I really want to have people not go through that. And also, we need to recognize the civil rights of the baby. You know, a woman really does have a right to choose what she does with her body. The baby's not her body. Where's the lawyer for the baby? And that leads us to ask, how can the dream survive if we murder our children?
You mentioned that the proportion of the black population in the United States just simply has not risen. If anything, it's gone down. Do you suspect that abortion is to account for that stagnation of the population?
Abortion is a large account, because out of the 60-plus million, one-third of those abortions, roughly close to one-third, happen in the black community, and we are a very low population. So maybe people say, oh, well, Caucasian people have more abortions. Well, there are more Caucasian people. But the numbers that are attributed to our own community on our smaller population, that's genocidal, that's eugenics, and we know that to be the case.
When you underwent abortion, what was going through your mind? What were those who were advocating for it in your life or at the abortion clinic, what were they trying to convince you of?
I had a very traumatic life. I was away from my family. I was living in another state. I was away from my church, away from God and all my support systems. And I found myself pregnant the second time. The first time, I had had my new little baby. And the doctor who was affiliated with Planned Parenthood, and everybody was so proud that he was working with this nice agency that was going to help us. And he was almost like a Kermit Gosnell, wherein he would deliver the babies in the hospital, but in his office he was doing these secret abortions before it was legal. And then abortion became legal in 73. I was trying to work through my marriage and some other things, and that abortion doctor had sent me to Planned Parenthood. So my young husband was like, oh, we don't need a baby, and get that procedure that they have. And it just passed on your birthday, January 22nd. This was in 1973. And so I was told it was a blob of tissue, it wouldn't hurt and all that. So immediately after the abortion, I felt so empty and so hurt. And so I said, my God, they lied. This hurt worse then having the tooth pulled, and then I had a miscarriage after that, and then several years later, in the mid-70s, I became pregnant, and I was going to get another abortion, because by now I was pro-choice and waving all the banners about a woman has the right to choose, and my grandfather and the father of that baby told me they were lying to me. The father was a medical student. My grandfather, who had kept my mother from having a D&C with me in 1950, they didn't call it abortion, but she was trying to do that. And he would tell his church members and everything, they're lying to you. That's not a blob of flesh. That's our children and my grandchildren. So I kept that baby, saw the ultrasound, and I guess today you would call it a nervous breakdown. I went into such shock because I said, they've been lying. This baby that I'm looking at on this screen is younger than the ones who were aborted. And so, and when I became born again in 1983, I became a voice for life, a voice for Jesus. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I've been saying, how can the dream survive if we murder the children, and been pro-life since 83?
So finally, Alvita, if you would, you have been the victim and the target of the kind of thing that Planned Parenthood continues to do in the black community over and over again, every day, hundreds if not thousands of times a day. If you were confronted with a young black woman who says, look, this seems like my only way out, and Planned Parenthood says they want to help, what would you say to them?
Well, I don't want to even just talk to a black woman, because, you know, we're one race, one human race, one blood, Acts 17:26. We're blooded people, one race. We're not colorblind. We could see truth. But to African-American women, to all women, young or old, there's a better way. You deserve love, not abortion. We're here to help you. The pregnancy care centers are right there in your community. Go to silentnomoreawareness.org, rachelsvineyard.org, and civilrightsfortheunborn.com. And find out. We're here to help you. And Starbucks, if you really want to help people wake up and smell the coffee and save babies, don't donate to baby killers.
Dr. Alvita King is the niece of Martin Luther King Jr., director of Civil Rights for the Unborn at Priests for Life, and author of a recent column for the Washington Examiner titled, If Starbucks Wants to End Racism, It'll Stop Funding Planned Parenthood. You can read it and find out more about Civil Rights for the Unborn at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. King, thank you again.
Thank you for this opportunity. God bless you. Bye.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Jeff Hammer talking about sin and the distortion of masculinity. We've heard a lot about toxic masculinity. He says it started a lot earlier than you think. Stay tuned.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
What we need to know about Islam is that it's the world's fastest growing religion and the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel.
Hank Canagraph of the Bible Answer Man talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The current narrative is that if you tell the truth in this regard, well, you'll radicalize Muslims. But that's pure propaganda. What we need to do is wake up to the truth concerning Islam.
You can meet and hear Hank Hanegraaff making the case against Islam at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.